Glory to his name. Come on, if you brought a praise, why don't you give it to him? Come on, if you got a praise in you, why don't you give it to him? He deserves it. He deserves it. He deserves it. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for this day. This is a day that you have made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. Thank you for navigating our niches and allowing us the privilege of being present, Lord, and participatory in this place. Lord, it's good to be alive. It's good to be in your presence one more time. Father, we have great anticipation of you speaking to our hearts, giving us your word. Send your word like you send snow and rain from heaven to water the earth, to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Lord, we know you send your word and your word will accomplish all that you send it to accomplish, and it will not return unto you void. Lord, we pray as always that you counsel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that nothing would hinder your word and your work. Lord, make sensitive our ears and soft our hearts, that as the seed of your word is sown, Lord, we will be good ground and we will produce a bountiful harvest. Make us one pulpit and pew, Lord, that the word of your son's coming will be believed by skeptics and critics. Thank you for all that has transpired today. Thank you for every soul that's here. Thank you for members and visitors. Thank you for the class of 2023. For Lord, we thank you for using this young lady, giving her courage to speak the name of Christ. And I pray, Father, that you amplify her voice, activate her witness, Lord, as she go hither and thither, this whole class, as they go hither and thither, here and there, Lord, the name of Christ will be fresh on their lips, and they will speak his name boldly. Because at his name every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that he is Lord. Thank you, Lord. We consider it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. It's another day's journey, and I'm glad about it. We're blessed to be in the house of the Lord once again. I concur with the sentiments of Peter when he was in the presence of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. He said, Lord, it's just good for us to be here. There are so many other places we could have been, but he blessed us to be in the house of the Lord one more time. One song says, ooh wee, what a blessing. Do y'all have that in your spirit this morning? Look at somebody and say, ooh wee, what a blessing. Look at another and say, ooh wee, you looking at a blessing. Amen. Come on, find your another and say, ooh wee, you sure enough looking at a blessing. I could have been, should have been dead, sleeping in the grave, but he touched me this morning. Oh, y'all don't feel it like I feel it. He touched me this morning and my eyes came open to behold the beauty of another day. Ooh-wee, what a blessing. You know, sometimes when you think about the Lord, you just say, wow. You look at where he has brought you from. Wow. Look at what he's doing for you now. Wow. Run your hand in your pocket. You got a few coins. May not have overflow, but you got a few coins. You got enough. That deserves a wow. Amen. The Lord is good. And he is worthy to be praised. Matthew chapter 6, verses 24-34. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, and for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewither shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. But what side are you on? Are you on the left side of the butt? Or the right side of the butt? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. People with little faith think too much. You may be seated. Undivided loyalty. Undivided loyalty. I said people with little faith think too much. Because over and over and over again, he says, think not, take no thought. And he says, which of you by thinking or taking thought can add one cubit? In other words, it's not your meditation, your consideration of your own life that causes you to ascertain or to gain what's necessary for life. It is God and God alone. Either you trust God with your life, or you have taken life into your own hands. If it's the latter, you are losing life. If you have taken life into your own hands, you are losing life. You're stressed. You're burdened. You're extremely wearied. You are labored. Because you can't handle your own life. It is Jesus in this particular text sitting on the side of a mountain, sharing with his disciples and a mass crowd what is called the Sermon on the Mount. He gives the attitude of believers, the attitude of kingdom citizens in chapter 5. We call them the B attitudes. In other words, he's giving what ought to be your attitude as a child of God. He moves from attitude to actions of citizens of his kingdom, actions of people who are called by his name. He warns the disciples of the practices of the Pharisees and scribes. He says, be not like the Pharisees and scribes, because they are hypocrites. They are play actors. They are put-ons. He warns of the practices of the scribes and Pharisees, because the scribes and Pharisees were giving to be seen, fasting to be seen, and praying to be seen. He says, when you fast, when you pray, when you give in secret, you pray in secret, and when you fast, don't disfigure your faces so that everybody will know that you are fasting. He says, what you do in private, what you do in your secret closet, God can see you. Do I have any witnesses in here? And if God sees what you do in private, he will reward you in public. He says, be not like the scribes and Pharisees, who were hypocrites. It is in verses 19 through 24, Jesus urges undivided loyalty. He concludes with undivided loyalty in service. In verses 19 through 21, undivided loyalty is required in the use of your treasure. In verses 22 and 23, undivided loyalty is required in the heart of his followers. In verses 24 through 34, Jesus deals with undivided loyalty in your service unto God. He said in verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The word serve means to be the slave of. It means to be in bondage, to do service. The word master means one in supreme authority. It means the controller of your life. What Jesus is saying is that you cannot have two controllers over your life or of your life. You will either love one, hate the other, or you will despise one and honor the other. But you cannot have two supreme authorities over your life, over your heart. He says you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon, wealth regarded as an evil influence or false object of worship and devotion. Mammon, the god of wealth. You cannot serve God and Mammon, this false object of worship and devotion, evil influence that drives you for wealth. Now, I said a few weeks ago that money in and of itself is not evil. But when you make money God of your life, when you make money the supreme object, purpose, and aim of your life. Listen, money is a good servant, but it's a terrible master. That's why Jesus warns us in this text, in verse 24, that you cannot serve God. You cannot afford to give your heart unto Mammon. This influence, evil influence, this wealth regarded as evil influence, or false object of worship and devotion. He says, give your heart to God. Oh, brothers and sisters, you cannot be co-owned by God and Mammon. Come on, help me preach it. Look at somebody and tell them you can't be co-owned by God and Mammon. Come on, that's a whisper. Look at somebody that really want to talk back to you and tell them you can't be co-owned by God and Mammon. You're going to have to give your heart to one or the other. You can't have two masters. You're going to either give your heart to God, or you're going to give your heart to this evil influence that drives you to get wealth. Come on, look at somebody and tell them, you can't be co-owned. I'm looking at some of you. You're quiet because you're trying to be co-owned. See, you want to be with God on Sunday and shout for God on Sunday. You want to praise God and pray unto God on Sunday. But when you get to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and sure enough Saturday, you want to give your life to the evil influences that drive you to get wealth. But look at somebody again and tell them, you can't be co-owned. Jesus says to believers that we are to place ultimate priority in God. That you cannot place ultimate priority on both the things of the world and God at the same time. You must see God as most important. You must see God and love God as most important. Serve God as most important. There is no higher service. There is no higher love than to love God and to serve God. We must give our undivided loyalty to the Lord and the service of the Lord and the worship of the Lord and the word of the Lord. Listen, you cannot give both God and Mammon your undivided loyalty. He says you're going to hate one and love the other. And the word hate doesn't mean to have a strong dislike. It means to love less. That you will hate one and love the other, or else you will despise one, honor the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon. I'm trying to work this in your spirit. Trying to serve two masters is like living life with a lot of aims and purposes. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, to have a great many aims and objectives is much the same thing as having no aim at all. For if a man shoots at many things, he will hit none, or none worth hitting. It is a grand thing to know what we are living for and to live for a worthy objective with the undivided energy of our being. Shall we, when the end comes, have made a success of life? Has our objective been a right one, or and has it been wisely pursued? And if you are trying to live your life with two aims and two purposes, and many focuses in life, the answer is no. That your life would not be successful, and the objectives of your life would not be the right ones. We cannot pursue two objects wisely. He says, you cannot serve two masters. Now let me tell you what he's not saying, because some of you have hung up on me. I'm trying to get you back on the line. Some of you have shut me off. I'm trying to call you back and get you back on the line because you hung up on me too early. If you're back on the line, say hello. Oh, you back. Now listen, let me tell you what he's not saying in verse 24. He's not saying that you should not desire to build wealth through hard work and investments. Nor is he saying that you should not enjoy the fruit of your labor. He is not saying that you should not feel financially secure. Jesus is not calling you to abandon life, to move to some remote place or practice for real life. No, in verse 24, he's addressing the basis for excessive worry and unnecessary anxiety caused by divided loyalty. The truth, brothers and sisters, we have too many people worrying, stressed out. Life full of anxiety, unnecessary worry. People are worrying, agonizing, anxious about life, about their needs in life. How I'm going to make it? Am I going to make it? Has God brought me this far to leave me now? He took care of me through the pandemic, but you know times are hard financially now. You know, I hear about recession and you know, I don't have a whole lot of money saved. I don't know how I'm going to make it, and people are worrying. How my children gonna make it? Will I have enough to put them through school? See them through college? Will they qualify for a student loan and grants? Worrying, stressed out. For the high school students, you may be worrying about what's your next step. I knew what I was going to do for 12 years, and I did it. But now I'm at a crossroad. What's my next step? Am I smart enough to go to school to continue my education, or should I just go on into the workforce? I'm struggling. I'm worrying. I'm stressed. My life is a life of anxiety. I'm so stressed, I don't feel like getting up. I wake up, but I don't want to get up. And when I get up, I don't want to go outside the house, because I got to face the real world, not knowing how I'm going to make it. Stressed out and worried. And here it is. Jesus, he gives us the remedy, the antidote for a life of excessive worry and anxiety. He says, right in verses 25 through 34, he says that you have to give God your whole heart and know that God is a good caregiver and caretaker and captain of your life, that he's able to do for you what you can't do for yourself, and he's able to do exceeding abundantly above more than you could ever ask or think. Do I have anybody in here who can be a witness to help somebody know that God can do it? He can do it. He can do it. I know he can do it because he has done it in my life. As I look back down the chasm of time, and as I look back over my shoulders to see where the Lord has brought me from, somebody can be a witness that if he did it then, he can do it now. I'll shake somebody's hand and tell them, if he did it then, he can do it now. He got a good track record. All you got to do is just call the roll. When you think about God, and when you were sick in your body, when you called on God, wasn't he there? When you were in financial strain and trouble and you called on God, wasn't he there? When your marriage was on the rocks and you called on God, wasn't he there? When your child was in trouble and you called on God, wasn't he there? When you were sick in your body, sick enough to die, and the people walked away from you like the doctors and the nurses, and you called on God, wasn't he there? And even if he was there then, he will be there again. He got a good track record. He's a good caregiver, caretaker, and captain. Let me let you in on a little secret. You have never been able to handle your life.
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir.
It was never you. It was not you. Where you are, God brought you. What you know, God taught you. What you have, God gave it to you. Who you with, God gave her or him to you. It was never you. It was never your looks. It was never your smarts. It was never your skills. It was never your strength. It's all God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I can shout today because it's all God. And it was never me, because if it was me, I would have made a mess of life. But thanks be to God that it's all God. Let me give you these 2 points and then I'm done. Here it is. In verses 25 through 34, he gives the results of you having a heart that's loyal to God. Listen, when you are loyal to God, the Father, it expels worry and anxiety concerning physical needs. Jesus tells us not to worry about our lives. What we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear. Because see, in the East, during Jesus' time, these things were major concerns, because the people were familiar with poverty. They didn't have the excess stuff that we have. You know, a lot of us, we don't worry about you know, what we gonna wear. We don't worry about having something to wear. Let me rephrase it. But we worry about what we gonna wear. Because when you go to the closet, you got too many clothes. And you in there arguing with yourself about what you gonna wear. Some of you got in a spill this morning with yourself about what you gonna wear. Did I have this outfit on last Sunday? You know, I don't want them to think that I only have one dress or one suit, you know. We don't worry about having something to put on, but we worry about what to put on. That's not the same thing he's talking about in the text. Because they were poor. And in the midst of their poverty, Jesus said to them, God will provide you something to put on. He will provide you something to eat and something to drink. You know, we have running water over here. A few years ago, I went to Africa, and you couldn't drink water from a faucet because it was contaminated. And so you have to take bottled water with you. So I know what he's talking about in the text. And you know, they didn't eat meat like we eat meat every day. You know, they supplemented beans for meat. You know, you mess around and give some of us all beans. With no pork chop and chicken and no beef on the plate, with no slice of cornbread to go with the meat and the beans, you got some trouble on your hand. Because you know, over here we eat what is called a full course. Come on, talk to me, somebody. So he ain't talking to us like that, you know. We call having something having nothing. Because having something, we may not have what we want, but we got what we need. Is there anybody from that dispensation where mama didn't have all that she wanted, but she knew how to put a little bit of this over here with a little bit of this over here and put it together? And when you got through with it, it was the best meal that you ever had. But we're too blessed now to thank God for the little. We got too much to know what he's talking about. He says, don't worry about your physical needs, because when you give God your undivided loyalty, your heart, God, he takes care of your need. So he says to the disciples, he says, if you worry, just go outside and watch the bird. You know, he calls them the fowl of the air. He says, go outside and watch the bird. And he says, the bird, he doesn't worry about where his next meal is coming from. You know, Doc Walker, he talked about feeding the birds. And he has excess bread. You know, God makes him go out there with that excess bread, because a bird doesn't dig up his meal. It doesn't work to get his meal. God puts exactly where the bird can get the meal. So he goes out there and he throws out bread. And what God has him doing is throwing out bread. So all the bird have to do is fly down from the utility line. pick up a little bird, look at him, and fly back up to the line. In other words, the bird doesn't have to work. Listen, if he don't throw out the bread, what God will do is put a worm on concrete. Have you ever been walking and saw an earthworm on concrete? What God will do is put that worm there so the bird, when he's flying, he can see the worm, and all he has to do is swoop down and pick up the worm and go back to the nest to feed the little birds in the nest. Listen, Jesus said that the bird doesn't toil or labor for his meal. He gives himself to the Lord. He gets up in the morning and sings the Lord's praises. And because he's singing the Lord's praises with the chirping of his voice, God puts what he needs exactly where he needs it. Listen, all you got to do is learn to appreciate God for what he has done in your life already. Do I have any birds chirping in this sanctuary this morning? Somebody that want to tell him thank you for the last meal. Thank you for the last drink of fluid that I had. Thank you for what you have done for me already. And what God will do is put what you need where you need it. He says, go out and look at the bird. Look at the bird. He says, if that's not enough, if you're worried about what you're going to eat and you're worried about what you're going to put on, he says, go out and look over the field at the lilies. They neither spin nor toil, but they are dressed. They are arrayed. He says, more eloquently than Solomon. Solomon was the richest king. And he had royal attire. He was so rich and he was so well dressed. When the queen of Sheba went to the kingdom, when she saw all that God had done, and she saw Solomon, you know, he had to be a handsome fellow. He had to be a well-dressed guy for the Lord to use him in the text. But he says, Solomon, as handsome and as well-dressed as he was, has nothing in comparison to the lilies of the field. Listen, in the springtime, when you go out over the field and you see the beautiful flowers, what the Lord is saying, Solomon ain't got nothing on those flowers. Listen, if God takes care of the lilies of the field, don't you know God will give you something to put on? And not just something to put on, because the emphasis is in beauty of the lilies and the beauty of Solomon. He won't just give you something to put on. He'll put you something on that'll make you look like something. Uh-huh, y'all quiet. Y'all don't want to hear me. He'll put you some on that'll make you look like something. He says, if you worried, then you are like the Gentiles. For the Gentiles, they were people who didn't know God. They didn't know the provisions of God. The Gentiles tried to be unto themselves spiritual power and protective care givers. The Gentiles had no faith in God. They knew not God. They knew him not as the God of provision. They didn't know him as Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Sikkenu. They didn't know him as Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shammah. They didn't know him. And he says, be not like the Gentiles who know not God. If you know him, act like you know him. The song says, if you know him, You ought to pray like you know him. If you know him, you ought to sing like you know him. Do you know him? And the response is, yes, I know him. Listen, you got to know him. He says that if you are loyal to God the Father, it expels worry and anxiety concerning physical needs. But secondly, I see if you make God priority of your life, God will provide you with all you need. Come on, look at somebody and tell them all you need. He'll provide you with all you need. He won't leave out one of your needs. He will provide you with all you need. He said in verse 33, here it is, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, he didn't just say seek the kingdom. He puts first, which means that you have to seek the kingdom above everything else. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. A lot of people are not seeking him first. And let me tell you what God won't do. He won't settle for second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth place. That if he's not first, he's not at all. He's not interested in being your backup plan. He's not interested in being your stimulus package. He's not interested in being your bypass. No, he wants to be first. I'm trying to help us today because, listen, babies, y'all trying to figure out how you're going to make it. You got to keep him first. Come on, help me shout at him. You got to keep him first, because, listen, when you keep him first, he's going to make sure your life is aligned with his will. And if your life is aligned with his will, he's going to bless your life. Do I have anybody here who can be a witness? The reason you blessed today is because you got him first. Oh, I ought to have somebody here who can be a witness. The reason you are blessed today is because you got him first. And listen, after you got your blessings, you didn't trade him in for the blessing. You kept him as God. And God, he keeps on blessing you because you got him first. He doesn't mind you having anything. But he got to be first. He has to be priority of your life. If he's king, he takes care of the citizens of his kingdom. But he has to be first. Lord, I'm trying to hold myself. But I'm happy. You know, when you're happy, you want to holler. Oh, my soul happy. Because he's first. And he has been taking care of me. Meeting all my needs. Giving me the desires of my heart. Thank you, Lord, for being the caregiver and caretaker of my life. I wouldn't have made it. I couldn't have made it if you wasn't the caregiver and caretaker of my life. I'm done. I got to quit. Keep him first. First. And everything else is going to work out. When you keep him first. Jesus kept the work of his Father as priority. When he came to earth, he said, "No man take my life, but I lay it down of myself. And if I lay it down, I can take it up again." Y'all know they arrested him. And he went from judgment hall to judgment hall. Found no fault in him. But they still beat him. All night long. Friday morning, put an old rugged cross on his shoulder, and he marched up the Via Dolorosa, got to Calvary's mountain, let them nail his hand, rivet his feet. He died. He died until the earth reeled and rocked. Like a drunk man, he died until the S-U-N took a vacation and refused to shine. He died until the moon dripped away in blood. How many of you know he died? If you know he died, why don't you stand on your feet, slip your hand in your neighbor's hand and shake them and say, "He died. He died that Friday." But that's not the end of the story. They put his lifeless body in a borrowed tomb for Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday at noonday. But Sunday morning, Sunday morning, before the S-U-N could shine, early Sunday morning, before the women could make it to the tomb, before Peter and John could make it to the tomb early, he dispatched an angel to roll away the stone, because there was a stone in a stone behind a stone, but he rolled the stone away. So the stone that was in the stone could get up and come out of the stone and say, "All power, heaven and earth, is in my hand. Let me ask you my question, then I'm going to my seat. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, say yeah." The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here today and you're not saved, come on, give the Lord your life. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. The doors of the Lord's house is ajar. Salvation is here. Restoration is here. Bless you. Membership is here. Come on. Come on, give the Lord your life. Come on, give the Lord your life. If you're here and you're not saved, all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess him with your mouth. And the Lord says, thou shalt be saved. Second, if you're here and you're backslidden, the Lord is here to restore. Come, come. Thirdly, if you're here, need of a church home, and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart. As a faith family, come, 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 come. You can come by letter. Christian Experience, come on. Come on, sing with us. Candidate for baptism, come on. Yeah. Come on, come to the doors.
Father, I need you.
Yes.
Can't do life without you.
Come on.
Father, I need you.
Come on, the doors, you're not safe, come on. Come on, the doors.
Father, I trust you always.
Glory to his name.